All right, so let's continue on Chof Tes Amin Aleph and Sanhedrin with the machlokes and we were discussing yesterday. All right, so we have again the question is, when is a hodah considered binding? Right. In other words, the basic facts we're dealing with is where one person claims from another person that he owes him money, right? You say, "Monali biyadecha," you have my money in your hand, right? Out of court, and then, but in front of witnesses. So then the Mishnah says, even if the other person says he admits to it, says, "Hain, it's true." It's not binding, right? Unless he first says, unless he says, "Bifaneinu hodelo." Okay, so that's the machlokus in the Rishonim. What is it? What is really required? What is really "bifaneinu hodelo" implying? Okay, because the Gemara says that it's a raya to. It's a raya to Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda said, the name of Rav, you have to say Atem Eda. Okay, so again, so it's a machlokas and Rishonim. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, Ad sheyomer bifoneinu hodelo shu chayev lo masayim zuz? And the Gemara says, we see from this a proof for Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, Tzarech Shiyomer Atem Edai. So Atem Edai, how does the Gemara derive from Bifaneinu Hodelo that's the same thing as Atem Edai, right? So basically you have two major shitas in this question. The first one is the Rush, okay? And the Rush says that what does it mean bifaneinu hodelo? It means that you establish them as edim first, and that's how the Gemara derives atem edai. That the bifaneinu implies you stood them up there, you made sure they were there, and they were part of your statement. So I was modet to edim, basically, right? Bifaneinu hodelo means the edim come and they say to us. Essentially, he stated that he owed them money, that he owes him money. So that means, how is it to us? It's only to us if he says Atem Edai, right? Listen up, you're my witnesses. I owe him money. So that's the way the Rush learns, and therefore the Rush holds any statement that said is not a binding admission unless it's prefaced by Atem Edai. Okay, and that's the Rush has that in the back, and the Tor quotes the Rush like that. Now, but the other way to go is like the Rambam and the Yad Ramah and the Ran, right? A lot of other Rishonim, and they learn that before Neinu Hodelo, they focus on the Lashon Hodah. Bifaneinu hodelo. That's what the Yad Ramah says specifically, right? That there's such a thing as a lashon hodah. There's such a thing as saying something as an admission. Okay, and it's not the bifaneinu that he focuses on. It's the hodah. So therefore, he learns that's all that Rav Yehuda was saying as well. That you just need some indication from his statement that he's saying it in an absolute way. That he's saying it in a truthful way, right? So, atem edai. That's what the Yad Ramah says. Atem edai is just a dugma. When Rav said, just an example. When Rav Yehuda said, "Tzarech lomar." Tzarech Shiyomar Atem Edai, the Yad Ramah says, It doesn't mean that dafka. V'hai dekomer rav v'tzach shi'oma atem edai lav ad she'oma lu atem edai dafka ela dugma nokat. Took an example. Any other lashon that indicates clearly that he would be mode that it's a hodah is also binding, and that's like the Rambam says in Toin V'Nitan, the first halacha in Perek Zayin, that he says. He says. Hamode bifnei shnayim sheyesh leploni etzlo mone v'omar lohen biderech hodaya lo derech sicha, not just like a shmuz. Af al pish lo omar lohem atem edai, it's clear, even though he doesn't say you are my witnesses. V'af al pish eina tovea imo harei zu edus. Interesting Rambam. Even if the guy himself is not there. Tavo bedin lemochar, then it's binding. Okay. So that was our first question, and that machlokas. Do you have to say dafka? You are my witnesses, or is it enough to be a derech? Or is there such a thing as a derech hoda? Okay. So we were trying to define the rush. We started trying to define the rush a little bit yesterday. I don't know if we put it on the tape, but so for the rush, it's difficult. It's a difficult kind of a machlokas to define, because both of them, it's hard to understand the cause. If you try to think about, well, why would one say one way, why would one say the other way, it becomes fruitless. It becomes just, you don't have any way to get into their minds exactly. And time to try to think about why would he say that, why would he say the other way, in terms of motivation. The only thing we have to do is we have to try to look at what it is that they are requiring. In other words, a hodah is a halachic entity. There's a halachic. We're looking for what constitutes in halacha an admission. So we can look at the evidence, at what they require, and try to see what are they requiring? What do their requirements show us about what they consider the hodah to be? Okay, in other words, what are they trying to produce? Each one is trying to produce a different thing. So we said that what is the requirement of saying atem edai? You are my witnesses. Let me put it to you this way. If you think about the machlokas, right? So the Nemuk Yosef and the Rambam, they sound very good. I mean, the guy's making an admission. And if there's some way to figure out that he's telling the truth, right, by the way he says something, what more is there to require? What more do you need, right? And he has an admission of the truth. So then you're going to start thinking, well, no, the rush doesn't believe you can ever know that he has the truth. You're going to try to start working in that type of a way. It becomes a difficult machlokas, like an argument between the rush on the one hand and the Rambam and the Nemuk Yosef or Yad Ramah, I'm sorry, on the other hand, about can we tell from circumstances that a person is telling the truth or not. That becomes a very difficult kind of a machlokas to define. You understand? So what I'm trying to do is trying to approach it in a different way. Not that they're arguing about, not that they're reaching, that's like assuming they're both trying to reach the same point. You understand? They're both trying to get to the point where we can say for sure that what he said, he meant. But then you would have to come down to a machlokas that the rush is super skeptical, and he never believes that you can prove what a guy meant unless he says, atem edai. And whereas the Rambam and the Yad Ramah saying no, we can figure it out from the context, okay, but that's what I'm saying, that's like a dead end. You can't get anywhere beyond that, okay. But in terms of the methodology that we try to employ over here in defining the machlokasin, this type of a question, you have to say, you have to make a certain kind of a move on this kind of a question. You have to say like this. That doesn't make sense to say that they're arguing about that. There is such a thing as a derech hodaya. There is such a thing as saying it in a serious way, kemoser, like the Ran mentions. There is such a way of saying from everything he says, it seems valid. So it's not that the Rush is super skeptical. It's that the Rush holds there is a halachic tzura to a hoda. There's another requirement. Hoda doesn't just mean a statement that we can deem as true. There is something more halachically that's required. Just like Eidus is a halachic institution. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with we could believe somebody's telling the truth and it wouldn't qualify as Eidus. There's a halachic institution of Eidus. There's a halachic institution of Hodah. And really, that's what the argument comes down to. The Rush has a certain definition of Hodah. It has a certain halachic tzura. And when he says you need to say Atem Eidai, that's not really in terms of him arguing that we haven't gotten down to a satisfying our question about whether he's telling the truth. It's a question of there has to be a certain entity of a hodah. And it's to fulfill the requirements of a hodah. So that's what we were trying to describe yesterday. That what is hodah according to the Rush? There's a certain form. Hodah is a form of a haggadah, of like a haggadah of Eidus itself. That the Baal Din is magid to others. As a hodah has to do with an idea, the definition of a hodah, according to the Rush, has the form of objectifying his statement. So that has to be that he's magid to a third party. Between him and the Baal Din, it's all a private matter. A hodah has to be that he is creating an observable event, an objectified event. It has to be out of the context of the two of them. So it would be like if a person goes into Beis Din and tells the Beis Din that he admits to something. But over here, it's outside of Beis Din. The only way for it to be a hodah is if he would direct it to a third party. He has to be magid to somebody else. So, Atem Eidai is really just part of the definition of what a hodah is. It really, in order to say, the requirement of saying Atem Eidai, you are my witnesses, is to characterize his statement as a haggadah, as a telling to somebody. Okay. Anything between the parties is just private. Hodah has to be outside of these two people. Okay, so even if they would overhear it, it wouldn't qualify as a hodah. If the Edom overhear it, it wouldn't qualify as a hodah. Why? Because that's not the nature of hodah. The nature of hodah is to publicize, to be magid to somebody else. It's like a hagodas edus outside of Beis Din. So you have to have a makabel. There has to be someone that is makabel the edus. So it has to be an aid there. Okay? But the Rambam is learning how? How is the Rambam learning?
He contrasts it.
What is the nature of... Let's just define it very broadly right now. What is the nature of the statement of a hodah?
Can we say that hodah has... the dibor of hodah has...
We don't have a case like that. But broadly speaking, I would just say like this: there was whereas the Rush holds hodah is publicizing, like you said, is a maisa to a third party. A hodah is a haggadah about them to someone else. The Rambam holds the Hodah is a Maisa to the Malva himself. Okay? In other words, the Hodah is the Hodah is an admission to the Baal Din. Okay, in other words, according to the Rush, the Hodah is really not to the Baal Din. No, in terms of the recipient, just the biggest chilek, the greatest chilek we could make at this point is, who is really the recipient of the Hodah? Who really is the object of the person's dibur? Okay, according to the Rush, the object of the dibur is really an aid, is really an external participant, right? He's coming in as a verifier. Is some sort of verification. That's the nature of Hodah. According to the Rambam, Hodah is just a personal matter between the two people themselves. It's like I'm moser to you a truth. Right? I'm admitting to the Baal Din himself. It's between the parties. That's a good question. I mean, if the Rambam says even if the guy's not there. I mean, that's like Avi's case. Even if the guy's not there. What does he say again? That's the case where he says it. In those cases, he's telling the Adam, though. Hold on. Right. No, you're right. I mean, he could say it directly to two Adam, too. He doesn't need to say Atam Edai to them. But if he's talking to himself, that's not good. But, yeah, okay, so good. That's good. Okay, yes, let's understand that a little bit then. It's a choice. Either point, it could be either way. Right. Now, according to the Rambam, the Hodah... What is a Hodah? Hodah is where a person creates an incriminating fact. Right? He creates certain... He gives the other party a claim. So that's the nature of Hodah. It's a self-incrimination. So... It doesn't matter, though, if he doesn't need to say Atem Edai. He doesn't need to say Atem Edai. That's not the nature of that's not part of what Hodah is. It's according to the Rambam, that's what we're trying to figure out here. It's according to the Rush, saying Atem Edai is part of the Hodah. Right, because that's the nature of Hodah, to publicize it, right, to create a verification of the thing. But according to the Rambam, that's not part of the nature of Hodah. Creating the verification of it is not the Hodah. It's just the very admission of the fact. Right, that's part of Hodah. The admission of the fact. Now the question is, did they witness an admission of fact? Right? That's what you're saying, Avi?
Yeah.
So then, all we need to do is decide, so then the Rambam is saying, and like the Yad Ramah, if there's a certain derech hodah, and then there's a way that's casual, we'll only say it's a true admission of fact, if it was derech hodah. But no, there's a way that you don't need the only difference between the Rush and the Tosa and the Rambam is that you don't need the Edom are not part of the very structure of what hodah is. Hodah is not publicizing the fact to others. That's not the nature of hodah, to create a verification of the fact. It's just the admission of the fact. Right? Just the very admission of the fact. So, we can say, if the Adam can say, look, by the way we saw it, it was clear, it was an admission of fact, that would be sufficient. Right? I mean, the Ram is more the way you think about it. You know, it's just a, we caught him admitting this fact. Okay? In other words, what is the essence of Hodah? Is what we're saying. The machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam is, according to the Rush, Hodah is a certain external. It's outside of Beis Din, but it still has a certain quality of verification. Right. It's outside of Beis Din, but it still has a certain quality of objectifying the fact. Objectifying the fact is only when. You know, it still is a legal type of an action. What's that? Go ahead.
There's another right thing, but that's you can start off
the That's right.
The Rush holds that all like deep they can for those types like
Right. No, it's the Rush holds that Hodah is a different kind of a Dibor. It's a legal Dibor. Right, it's a legal type of it's a legal dibor. So in order to create this new species of dibor, meaning dibor of that carries legal weight, it has to be in the context of Beis Din, which only exists under the rules of Eidus. So it is a formal action. It's like a formal action of Hodah. Hodah is a formal legal action. So it requires incorporating it into the objectivity of Beis Din, which is Eidus. Okay? It doesn't have that quality. Everything else is just chulin. It has to have the certain quality of law. Whereas the Rambam holds, the Hodah is really just, is not a different kind of a speech. It's not that it's a legal thing. It's not that it needs Eidim in order for it to exist as a Hodah. It's simply
way of speaking.
It's a way of speaking, and it's a gilui of a fact. Right, it's a gilui of a fact. It's an admission of a reality. So let's put it this way. You can think about it like this. Okay, so therefore he's saying as long as he says it in a factual way. Now it's according to the Rambam the different there's sicha and then there's a derech of speaking that's a derech of sicha, people just talk, and then there's a derech of speaking that is emistic. Okay, because everybody agrees that there's a difference between saying something and Hodah, right? And we're trying to figure out what is the definitive difference between saying something and making a Hodah. So the Rush says it has to be out of the whole category of speech. It has to be entered into a new category of legal speak. Legal speak only exists under Adam. That's what makes it that's how we define the system that's how the system of Beis Din works. That's how those are Beis Din's eyes and ears. So you're either in front of Beis Din or you're in front of the senses of Beis Din, the Adam. Okay? That's what qualitatively removes it from, differentiates it from just Stam speak. Once it's Stam speak, we just don't listen. That's it. We'll get into what happens when it's Stam speak. It's not nothing because you still bring the guy down to Beis Din based on it, but it's not a winner. It's not an absolute Hodah. Okay. Whereas the Rambam seems to say that Hodah means a Hodah is differentiated from Sicha in the sense that it is. It's harder to define, but. It's the people talk dvarim b'talim, and people speak in a way of seriousness, solemnity. Hodah is a solemn statement. Okay, and you can we can decide from the circumstances if it's a solemn statement or if it's a statement in jest. Okay, but there's nothing. It's not qualitatively uniquely different. In terms of that it's under Eidus. it's different in the sense that it's solemn. So if he says it in a way that's clear that he means it, he's speaking derech hodah. That's the way, that's a certain kind of a speech. Okay, similar, like in American law, they have certain, not exactly the same, but there's a, you ever hear the rule against the hearsay? Right? So I can't come into Basin and say, I heard Gil admit something. Well, a little gets complicated. But they have these certain rules. Now why? Why do they have this rule of hearsay? So for the very reason that in American law, any adis is good adis. So why wouldn't hearsay be good? Right? Because since any adis is good adis, how does the jury know when the adis is telling the truth or not?
Only if they themselves were eyewitnesses.
They see him say it. We give a lot of strength, a lot of truth value to the adim, to the jury. We say the jury watches the guy testify, and they hear how he says it.
If he says it.
And they can tell if he's saying it truthfully or not truthfully. But if I say this is what he said, they don't get the ability to hear him say that.
You can't just use a lie detector?
No.
Can't they analyze whether you're being truthful when you say that he said that?
Yeah, but you might be truthful if he said that. But you can't convey the twitching of his face when he said it. You can't convey...
Oh, so you're definitely... They can tell if you're telling the truth.
Yes.
You're hearing it.
We don't, right. They're not
but
doubting.
We don't know whether he was telling the truth.
Right. They have to have the ability to decide for themselves if the speaker was telling the truth, if the source of the information was telling the truth. And they do that by watching him say it. That's the theory. Okay. So therefore, Yoni, you look confused.
No, I was just thinking.
You good? So therefore, there are certain exceptions to the hearsay rule. Famous one is what's called the dying declaration. If they heard the man say it while he was dying, then we admit it into evidence because we assume nobody lies when they're dying. So in other words, the only time the hearsay is excluded is when we're not sure if he's saying it truthfully, so they have to see him say it. But if we know it's solemn, you know what I'm saying? If we know it's solemn, from other circumstances, he was dying when he said it. Whether you believe that to be that's truth about human nature or not is another question. But then we'll admit it. So that's what I'm trying to say. That there's a certain way of speaking that's in a truthful way, and there's a certain way of speaking that's not in a truthful way. And the adam can determine certain rules when we determine when we say the person is saying it truthfully or not. Okay, but that's the only difference between derech hodo and derech sicha. Okay. Similarly to the hearsay rule, only when there's a possibility that it's not solemn do we say you have to have that you have to see the aide say it. But if we could say no, these circumstances we know it's definitely solemn, so then it's like that's why an admission of guilt is considered also. Like if I heard him say something against his own interest, then we say it's truthful because you wouldn't lie against your own interest. So, but that's the point I'm trying to make over here. I'm sorry if I confused you with the. Hearsay rule. But, yeah. Okay. But then there's one more sheet I wanted to try to take up. And that's the sheet of the Baal HaMor, who seems to require more than the Rush. Aside for appointing them as Edim, he requires that there be two present. Okay? That was the Baal HaMor. So let's just see if we can get that last sheet. He can't extract, but you can force him to take a shrua midaraisa, and if he admits that he said it, I guess admitting is going to be, everybody's going to agree if you admit, but he can't say that he was joking anymore. Right? If he says, yeah, that's true, he can't say, but I was joking. Well, the Ram just said like this: "V'im hoya aid echad nishba hov omer derech hodaya." So the aid can force him to take a shvur, but that's always like an aid echad. But according to the Baal HaMor, if he says it in front of one, there's no, it's of no result. It doesn't do anything. He can't force him to take he can't force him to take a shua. And even if he admits that he said it to him, he could still say he was joking. Okay? It dafka has to be through the two edim. Okay, where does he say this? Hold on. One eight appointed would be a good... No, listen. It makes it a hodah. Listen. You have to... Let me be clear about what they're arguing about. They're arguing about what is the derech hodah. Okay? The Baal HaMor says if it's not in front of two people, it's not called derech hodah at all.
And the Rush?
The Rush says it is a derech hodah, as long as he says, you're my aide. Now, what's the consequence of having one aide witness a derech hodah? That's like any time you have one aide witness something. He can force you to take a shvuah midaraisa. You have to differentiate you have to realize what the Baal HaMor is saying. They're not arguing about can you extract money based on one aide. They're arguing, did that one aide witness an admission or not? According to the Rambam, if a person says something derech hodah, that itself is the hodah. Right? The hodah is defined by the way a person says it, regardless of whether he's aware, regardless of him appointing edim or not. Right? So if one aid is present when he says something derech hodah, that's like one aid being present if I lend Gil money. Now, if one aid is present when I lend, when I borrow money from Gil, let's say, can that aid force me to pay him back?
No.
But he is a kosher aid, and we believe him, he's a kosher aid, and he witnessed. That's right. And if he comes in and says, I saw this happen, I'd be chayav take a shvuah midaraisa to deny it. Okay? But the Baal HaMor is saying, unless you start out and say, you two are my aidim to this admission, there is no admission at all. So if one aide comes in and says, he told me, you are my aide to the admission, we would say to him, oh, that wasn't an admission then. Not that you're a one aide who saw an admission. That was not an admission. The Rush would say, oh, you're one aide to an admission. The Rambam would say, you're one aide to an admission. But the Baal HaMor would say, that was not an admission. You understand? That's right. By the fact that you were one aide, and he only appointed you as an aide, that whole thing was not an admission. It's not that it was one aide who saw an admission.
That's what the Rambam would say.
That's what the Rush would say. Because as long as you said you are my aide, that would also be good. Only in the sense that he says he has to appoint somebody to be my aide, but he doesn't require it too. No. Because the Baal HaMor says you dafka have to appoint it to two, and he says she'im hod lefnei aid echad levado she'ein hodoso klum afilu im omar lo ato aidi velo mishtabea apume ikofer bohodoso. He won't swear. Even if he says you are my aide, he won't have to take a shua. If he denies it. And even if he admits it, he can still say, I wasn't serious. Right? Ad sheyomer l'shnayim ato edai. That's what the Baal HaMor says. Dafka has to say to two people, you are my witnesses. And he gives a reason. He says, l'fi she'ikar chiyuvo pivhu she'mechayivo behodo'aso v'lo ha'edim. He says, who is being mechayiv him money? It's not really the Edom. It's himself. It's really himself. Lefikach tzorach ledaktek bedevorav shelo yehu divrei hashto'o. We have to make sure there's no joke going on. V'kol zman she'ein hodo'oso bifnei shnayim, ein hodo'oso hodo'o. It's nothing. Okay? Yeshua the Raisa according to the Baal HaMor. So how is the Baal HaMor learning Hodah? So the Baal HaMor is learning like this. He's not learning Hodah like the Rambam and like the and the Rush. Right? The Rambam was learning is revealing some kind of a truth. Right? And then based in can act on that. And the Rush is also learning, you're sort of setting up a verification of a certain truth. But according to the Baal HaMor, the essence of a Hodah is different. Nobody really knows what happened. Nobody knows what happened. What? How does Hodah work? Hodah is not really an admission back to a specific fact. Hodah is that you're mechayev yourself mamon to this guy. That's what the Hodah is. Hodah is that you give the other person a legal right to collect. In other words, Hodah is not establishing, Hodah is not revealing, is not a matter of revealing a fact. And then we could say, well, did he say it in a factual way? Did he say it in a joking way? It's not even creating a verification to a fact. It is where the Baal Din is mechayev himself. It's not incrimination. It's actually creating a legal right to collect. That's what Hodah is. Hodah is saying, it's like bypassing everything and saying, Hodah's Baal Din is Kamei Eidim Dami. So if the Baal Din, a Hodah means where the Baal Din actually creates the right to collect. That's what a Hodah is. But without doing it in front of two Eidim, he doesn't create the right to collect. So that's not a Hodah. Okay. So where is this in the Baal HaMor? Okay, so there's two answers I have for that. One, first of all, is I'm just using the method I had from before, saying what is two doing for you? That one is not. Why should two Eidim be required in a Hodah? What do two Eidim create that nothing else can create? Okay, so one Eid can create a Shvuah, right? But two Eidim establish the fact. Okay, two Eidim establish the very fact itself. When you're moda in front of two Eidim, then legally you're establishing a fact. It's not an admission. It's not an admission. It's establishing it.
It's more of like an exterior process.
By establishing, what I mean is that you are creating for the based and for, you're creating the fact as a reality. You're presenting, you're giving the person, when I say I'm admitting to something, that means to say that I'm going, that the process of admission, according to the Baal HaMor, is only complete when you give the person that you're admitting to the full legal authority, the full legal benefit of the full legal consequence of the thing itself. In other words, we had a loan privately, right? Mm-hmm. You and I had a loan privately. So is there a legal consequence? Well, it depends. It depends if there were witnesses. Let's say there were no witnesses. So to the basin, it doesn't exist as a fact. Right? And admission means I'm going to establish for basin that this fact is reality.
What's that then to the Rush? I thought the Rush is also making it illegal.
No. According to the Rush, it's a statement that is in the system of law. But it's not, it has to be a certain kind of a speech. According to the Rush, it has to be a certain kind of a dibor. What kind of a dibor? The dibor of din. So that's in front of a component of din, in front of an aid. It just is enough to qualify and say it's out of sichas chulin. Okay? But according to the Baal HaMor, it's even further. It's not that it has to be of a certain type of speech, like a speech of din, but it actually has to have a certain effect. It has to actually establish the fact. And admission is like a stipulation. Like we're saying, this is a fact. This is a legal fact. Not that I'm speaking in a legal way, but I'm actually establishing a legal fact. That's what an admission is. Without the two edim that can go to Beis Din and give Beis Din the ability to collect upon it, the fact hasn't been established legally. So that's what he means. What he means to say is, he says, because they're only collecting, he says the edim are not really who's mechayev the person. What does he mean the edim are not mechayev the person? He says, see, this is the line that you gotta interpret. He says, "Sheikar chiyuvo pivhu shemachayvo v'hodaso v'lo ha'edim." What does he mean? It's his piv who's mechayvim and not the edim. But the edim, he just said, you need two edim, right? And without the edim, you wouldn't have the admissions. What does he mean? It's piv who's mechayvim and not the edim.
It's his self-incrimination.
It's because the edim aren't seeing anything. When we say Edim, if I would tell you that Edim are establishing the fact, that would mean to say that the Edim saw the fact. When I would say that, if I would say like this, this din was settled by the Edim, so that would mean to say, Beis Din is always looking to establish the facts, right? So if I would say the Edim, or if I say the Din is being, he's Chayev al pi Edim, that would mean to say that how does Beis Din know that this occurred? Because Edim witnessed it. Right? Because that's the normal way. As the Balamor is saying, look, there's two ways of, the one way that Beis Din establishes the fact is that the Edim, who are the eyes of the Beis Din, they witness the fact themselves. They saw the loan. If Edom were at the Halva, were at the loan, then the loan would be established al pi Edom. Right? The Balamor is saying, Hodah is an alternative way of establishing the fact. Not through the Edom witnessing it, but through the Baal Din himself establishing it. Okay? His piv, his peh. They don't have to see it, but it's enough if the Baal Din himself posits that reality. Okay, but he can only create that reality if he has Edim who can bring it to Beis Din, who can bring his Hodah to Beis Din. So the Baal Amor is learning that without Edim witnessing his Hodah, then he's not really being Maimed this fact as a reality, because he's not giving the Beis Din the ability to utilize the information that he's conveying. But essentially, he's saying, where does the chiyuv of the hodah come from? From the self-incrimination. But it's not. It's more than self-incrimination. It's that the person himself, the person is actually establishing the reality himself.
Isn't that done with one aid? You make him chayav shua.
One aid is not enough because the person can still deny it if he takes a shua. So it's not established as fact. Since one aid can't, in other words, when one aid comes to Beis Din, Beis Din says, we don't know it for sure yet. We have to hear what this guy says. Are you willing to swear that it's not, that it didn't happen? Yes or no? But that means that it wasn't established. Because if two aidim come, they don't ask the Baal, they don't ask the guy if he'll take a shua. Why? Because it's defined already. It's established. I'm saying in general. And then in any case, the difference between two edim and one aid is that two edim establishes it as a reality that's incontrovertible, unless you have more edim.
If you have one aid according to the rush, though, it still is good, right?
How does he define
or you make the guy
the
take
rush.
A shua?
Well, I always make the guy take a shua. You have to make the guy take a shua. I'm just trying to explain to you the difference between one aid and two aid in general. Not in this case, just in general. One aid can't establish the fact. One aid just pushes the burden back on the guy to deny. But he's not definitive. One aid is not definitively al pi shnayim edim or shlosha edim yokum davar. It's not established unless it's two edim. If it's one aid, it makes it seem fishy, so we make the guy take a shvua. But it doesn't, it's not mekem dover. So the Baal HaMor says, hodo'ah is a way for the individual to short circuit the whole process of Adam having to see the event. It's a way, it's a different way of establishing a fact. There's two ways that Beis Din can establish a fact. Either through Adam witnessing something, or through the Baal Dover himself admitting to it. But it's a method of establishing the fact. So unless he's moda in a way that it could establish that very fact, it falls short of hodah.
It's almost like there's no
institution. In other words, hodah is like a certain form of proof.
It's as if they saw it.
That's right. Hodah is proof. I can establish the proof myself. Either Adam can establish the proof because they witnessed it, or I, as the Baal Dover, can give you the proof myself. We say, Odos Baal Din Kameya Adam Dami. We believe the Baal Din to be as good as 100 Adam.
And the rush is just making it the deepest, just the way you speak.
In other words, the basic machlokas between the rush, between the Baal HaMor and everybody else, is really, let's see if we can define this, hold on. As according to the Rush and everybody else, Hoda'a is simply a form of evidence. Okay? Sorry. Hoda'a is a form of evidence. Okay? So we have to decide what kind of a statement has value at towards establishing has value towards establishing a fact. Okay, so according to the Rush, it's only legal dibor. According to the Rambam, it's only dibor that's said in a solemn way, but it's a certain kind of evidence. So then we have the general rules of evidence. What if one aid witnessed something that we would consider to be evidence? What if two Adam witnesses? But the fact that it's only one aid doesn't make it less of a reality that it's something of probative value. Doesn't make it less of a reality that it's something that has value towards establishing a fact. But according to the Baal HaMor, Hodah is not simply a new kind of some form of evidence. It is an alternative way of establishing a fact. There are two ways you can establish a fact in Beis Din. Either it's established via witnessing the event, or it's established by the Baal Dover establishing it himself. But it's not, when we say a hodah. Hodah is simply another way to establish the fact. It's not something that Beis Din uses to make up it's not a type of evidence. It's the establishment of the fact itself. In other words, what I mean is like this. Evidence, it depends how it comes. If it comes from one aid, then Beis Din does one thing with evidence. If it comes from two aid, then Beis Din does another thing with evidence. But there's only one way to establish a fact. There aren't two ways. So if Hodah is, the definition of Hodah is that the Baal Dover can establish something himself, and we'll accept that as established, that Adam don't have to see every event, the Baal Dover himself can be the one who establishes it for us, then it's not considered the Hodah unless it has the effect of establishing the event. Unless it has that ability to establish the event. So to two Adam is how you establish something. To one aid is not. So anything short of that, the guy can say, I wasn't doing a hoda. I was doing something else. All right, let's think it over a little bit. Think it over a little bit, and we'll try to clean it up a little tomorrow. In other words, maybe it's like this, that the Balamor holds, a hoda'ah is where you remove, hoda'ah means where the Baal Din removes any doubt about the fact. To Basin. He removes any issue from this, that's the definition of hoda'ah. That either Basin knows things by deciphering the evidence that comes to them, or by admission. But admission means that it's a specific process where the person removes any doubt from the that's sort of, if you look at his lashon, that's sort of what he's saying. Because he says like this, he has this one line that's funny. He says, Lefisha Iker Chiyuvo Pivhu Shemachaivo Bodo. So, Veloha Edem, Lefikach Tzarach Lidaktek Bidivarav Shalo Yehu Divrei Hashto'o. Vikolz Manch Eno Doso Bifne Shnayim, Eno Doso Hodo. What does it mean? You have to be Medaktek. But that's what I'm trying to say. Now, if you're going to learn like the Rush and the Rambam, so it's evidence. So there's a certain level of, where something rises to, there's a certain point where we say, well, it rose to the point of evidence. Okay, either for the Rambam, that it was said in a serious way. So then it becomes something that Beis Din can deal with. Right, so Hodah is really a personal statement of the Baal Davar that rises to the level of evidence. Okay, but according to the Baal Amor, it's more than that. It's actually where the person removes this fact from question. It's actually, that's what Hodah means. Hodah means that the Baal Davar himself removes it from question. But that's why he says we have to be medakdek very carefully, because there's a difference between saying it rises to the level of evidence and saying that it removes all doubt about the fact. Something could still have a little bit of a doubt, but we could say, well, it's enough to say that we'll treat it as evidence. You understand? Even when witnesses say, see something, we're not really sure it happened, but it's enough that we can consider it evidence. But according, and that's all we need is that it enters a certain range of where we consider it evidentiary. But according to the Baal Amor, it's not that. It's a way of actually, hodah is different. Hodah is where the person removes, since he's the source of the information, Hodah is where he removes any doubt about it, and he establishes it as an absolute fact. That's what Hodah means. So unless he says it in a way that makes it an established fact to Beis Din, he has not done a maisa of removing any doubt from it. So then he has not done a Hodah. Nobody agrees with the Baal Amor, by the way.
But isn't according to the Rambam and the Rush too?
No. See, I'm trying to say not. Well, see, according to the Rambam and the Rush, it's not
say,
that way.
Don't we say that if he comes in the desert?
That's right. No,
we'd say no.
The rule is the same for everybody. The Gemara holds just something that's called the Hodah, and if that is accomplished, we accept it.
Right.
According to the Baal Amor, it means it has the most extreme meaning. And it means simply that if a guy establishes a fact to Beis Din, it is established by him. That's all it means. The Edom don't need to see it. And he doesn't have to do it in front of Beis Din. Right? So if a guy on his own establishes a fact, it's established. So how does he establish the fact? By telling two Edom, this is what happened. Anything short of that, he has not established the fact to Beistin. Okay? Whereas the Rush and the Rambam say, if a person says something in a way that has a certain level of objectivity to it, that reveals a certain that reveals a reality, Beistin can use that to establish the truth. But he himself is not doing a maisa of establishing the thing. In order for him to do the maisa of establishing the thing, then part of his action would have to be to aid them. And so according to the Baal HaMor, it's like the person himself is creating an established fact. How can I, as an individual, create an established fact? Only if I package it in a way that it's ready for Beistin's stamp of approval.
So is that the Hodah?
That's the Hodah, according to the Baal HaMor.
And then it becomes like the same level as the Rambam's Hodah.
That's right, exactly. In other words, they all agree that there's the Rush and the Rambam and the everybody agrees that there's something considered the Hodah. And whenever you reach that, it's established. It's something that the guy can't say he didn't mean.
Right.
But they're arguing about what is that thing.
Right. It's different than, let's say, according to the Baal HaMor, than if the Eidim were to testify that we saw the actual bone take place. Then it's like they're testifying.
If the Eidim saw, I mean, for the Rambam?
For the Baal HaMor.
For the Baal HaMor, it's no different. They're no
yes,
different.
Yes, they make his admission like a known fact.
That's
it's
right.
It's not like establishing the fact incontrovertibly that like the loan happened the way the Malva says it did.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It might not have happened that way.
Right.
But the point I'm trying to make is that even according to the Rush, who says Atem Edai, he could say that to one person. All it means is that the admission has a certain character of speech. It's not like the Baal HaMor. It's not that it is an act of establishing the fact. Because if it were an act of establishing the fact, then it would have to be in front of two. So, but that's the puzzle. So then why does the Rush have to say that you are my aid? Because it has to take it out of ordinary speech. You understand?
That's weird.